Welcome to this presentation exploring SQL Server 2012 PowerView. My name is Peter Myers, I'm a SQL Server MVP and a mentor with SolidQ. So in this presentation we'll introduce PowerView, and the second part of the presentation will actually explore what's required to optimize the PowerView experience. It's the topic of optimizing a tabular BI semantic model for this experience, and then we'll cover on some developer opportunities. So PowerView, part of the SQL Server Reporting Services 2012 offering, is an interactive data exploration, visualization, and presentation experience. It delivers highly visual design experience with rich metadata-driven interactivity, and the product team were guided by the principle that it should be presentation-ready at all times. They were also guided by the principle that there should be minimal clicks involved in creating very impressive interactive reports. So it provides intuitive ad hoc reporting for business users such as data analysts, business decision makers, and information workers. Note that ordinarily a PowerView report needs to be based on a tabular BI semantic model that has been optimized specifically for the reporting tool. So let's be clear about this, that when we talk about reporting services and authoring of reports, there are three supported authoring tools that Microsoft provide. Report Designer, focused on the IT developer, is about producing libraries of managed reports, checking them into source control, and deploying them direct to the server. Report Builder provides almost similar capabilities, but it targets the business user, and it focuses on a single report at the time, and it's a more intuitive interface, particularly for those users that are familiar with Office and working with a ribbon. These two tools still exist in SQL Server Reporting Services 2012. They're not being removed, they're not being replaced. PowerView there is to complement the authoring experience with a very different experience. It uses a web browser and Silverlight experience to create a rich interactive report based off a tabular model. It is there to complement, not to replace, the functionality that is supported by Report Designer and Report Builder. Here's an example of what a PowerView report could look like. In fact, it is the report that is created by the lab should you have the opportunity to do it. All right, so what you see is very, very impressive graphics and layout. And you know, if I were to count the clicks that were involved to create this report, we'd probably tally at about 30 or 40 or 50. And I could have produced this report within a matter of a minute or less, knowing what I'm doing, of course. So for PowerView, there are system requirements. On the server, we need SharePoint Server 2010 Service Pack 1 Enterprise Edition and SQL Server 2012 Reporting Services add-in for SharePoint. On the client, they simply need a supported web browser by SharePoint. Now, that includes Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Safari, and Silverlight 5 is a requirement also. Data modeling requirements. So the report, PowerView report must be based on a deployed tabular BI semantic model, either a published PowerPivot workbook in a SharePoint library or a tabular database hosted in an Analysis Services Tabular Mode instance. Be aware that PowerView uses DAX query to query the model. So therefore, and that explains why multi-dimensional BI semantic models are not supported in this release. Ordinarily, the model needs to be optimized for PowerView, and we'll explore that in the next part of this presentation. So creating PowerView reports. The way that users do this, there are three approaches to create the report. Note that the report is defined in an RDLX file, which is different from a conventional report, which is an RDL file. The RDLX, or the PowerView report, can be based either from a BISM connection file, a PowerPivot workbook that is published to SharePoint, or a reporting services shared data source. Reports can consist of multiple views. So in the same way that a PowerPoint presentation can have multiple slides, a PowerView report may have multiple views, and each view can be filtered independently. Reports may be printed, saved to SharePoint libraries, or even exported to PowerPoint. And what is very, very cool is that once you've exported to PowerPoint, providing you have connectivity and permission to the service, you can then turn on an interactive mode and interact with the PowerView report inside PowerPoint. In SharePoint, clicking on a report in the library will open it in preview mode, and should the user have permission, they can switch to edit mode. So for the design experience, it consists of a ribbon, which is very office-like. The canvas is where we lay out the design of the report. The filter area is where we define filters for our views. The field list, then located on the right side, exposes the tabular model in terms of tables and fields, those fields being either columns or measures. And then the layout selection is for the currently selected region on the report. and it's the layout and configuration of the report itself. The report may be viewed in preview or even full screen mode, which is like a presentation in PowerPoint. To exit this, we simply press Escape. And visualizations can be added to the canvas and configured using that layout selection. The visualizations consist of matrices, charts, cards, tiles, scatter, and bubble charts. So there is a demonstration that explores PowerView in some good detail, and there will be a separate recording that accompanies this presentation that will let you see that demonstration. The next topic then concerns itself with the optimization of a tabular BI semantic model to get the most out of PowerView. So ordinarily, this BI semantic model needs to be optimized for the PowerView experience. This is required to exploit the unique capabilities of the report authoring tool by supplying hints and directives. Note that optimizing a model for PowerView may de-optimize it for OLAP clients, as we'll consider in this topic. Be aware that the following model resources are not available in PowerView. So hidden tables, columns, and measures, of course, they're hidden, they won't be available. Hierarchies, these multi-level structures that we can now develop in tabular models, are not surfaced in PowerView. Implicit measures, and they are measures that are defined using the PowerPivot field list in Excel, are never surfaced in PowerView. And key performance indicators are not surfaced, however the measure that the KPI is based on will be surfaced if it's visible. Be aware that we can define perspectives in tabular models, but only the default perspective may be used in PowerView. The model can be optimized by providing friendly names for tables, columns, and measures, being aware that the column and measure names will appear as the headers in our reports. Hiding unnecessary tables, columns, and measures ensures that we don't clutter up the field list or enable users to introduce irrelevant or unnecessary data. Setting appropriate formats for columns and measures will ensure that those formats flow through to the PowerView experience. Defining descriptions for tables, columns, and measures will then surface as tooltips in the field list and provide explanatory information or further supplementary information relevant to the report author. Adding columns that contain images, so the new binary data column, will then provide images in PowerView. Be aware that this may not necessarily be efficient, particularly if those image files are large or the volume of rows that contain images is large as well. So an alternate approach, and perhaps a preferred approach, is that you can store as a column in your tabular model the URL to an image, perhaps in a virtual directory on a web server. And then you would configure that column to be a URL image, and then PowerView, providing it has permission of course, will extract those external images and make them available in your PowerView report. There may not be the need to define measures. Now, let's be aware that measures are important for aggregating the numeric values in our model, and there are some things to understand about PowerView when it comes to defining measures, and they are detailed here in this slide. By default, PowerView will express numeric columns that are using a data type of decimal or currency as measures. This is by default. You don't even need to create an explicit measure in your model. Now, the advantage of this approach is that users can modify the aggregate function of a PowerView expressed measure. However, a distinct disadvantage is that this optimization will actually de-optimize for OLAP clients, that if you don't create an explicit measure, then a pivot table, for example, will not expose that a measure is available to you. So there is a property known as summarize by. And what summarize by does for a column is that it determines how it should be summarized in PowerView or a reporting tool. So by default, the value for summarize is default. And what that means for a column of decimal or currency data type is that it will default to sum. You can change this to any of the supported aggregate functions. Note that for a numeric column that is of data type whole number, this will not surface as a measure automatically. So default for a column of whole number data type actually means don't summarize. So you might choose, if it's appropriate, to then set the summarize by property for this whole number column as sum. Alright, what we see in here is that the field list on the left-hand side showing us some measures in the reseller sales table. The profit measure uses that calculator icon. That denotes that it's an explicit measure defined in the model. The sales measure, in contrast, uses the sigma symbol, which denotes that it's an automatic measure expressed by PowerView. So for the sales measure in the layout on the right side, we get to see that the user can modify the aggregate function. So note that this is one of the advantages of an automatic measure. The explicit measure will not support changing aggregate function. Some additional reporting properties, these can also be configured in PowerView or the Tabular project. Note that they are available through the Advanced ribbon, and so this must be turned on if using the PowerPivot window. So for the reporting properties, we have the default field set. When you configure this at table level, what you're configuring are the columns or measures and the order of them that will be available by simply single-clicking the table name in the field list. For example, when I click the product table, I would like to see added to the canvas a report that consists of the category, subcategory, product name, and image of the product. So by configuring those four columns as default fields in that order, we have introduced that convenient functionality. The table behavior then allows us to configure a number of properties. The row identifier essentially is what is the primary key. What is a column that is unique, that uniquely therefore identifies each row in the table? Keep unique rows are columns that relate directly to the row identifier. For example, in our product table, we have a product ID column. That's the row identifier. But the product name, we would say keep unique, because there is a one-to-one relationship between each product name and its key. Default label is the default label that will behave as the user-friendly label for the table. So the product name, for example, would be the default label. And of course, if we have a photograph for the product, we would specify that that is the default image. As described earlier, perhaps a recommended practice for images is that you actually host them externally and you use the URL in the model to connect and reference those images. So for a column that contains the URL to an image, you need to specify by using the checkbox, we see that here, image URL checkbox, that that column does contain an image URL. So that concludes the topic of optimizing a tabular BI semantic model for PowerView. Developer opportunities then consist of developing, optimizing, and deploying tabular models to provide visibility to the application data that you have. Create SharePoint libraries of BISM connection files to facilitate accessing and creating PowerView reports based on tabular models. Develop SharePoint libraries of PowerView reports to provide intuitive, interactive, and presentation-ready experiences. Do note that PowerView reports cannot be embedded into solutions using report viewer controls. So PowerView can only be available through the browser experience in the SharePoint library, exporting as images, or PowerPoint workbooks. So in summary, PowerView provides intuitive and visually impressive ad hoc reporting targeted at business users. It complements the existing report authoring tools we have of Report Designer and Report Builder. Reports must be based on a deployed Tabular BI semantic model, be it a published PowerPivot workbook or a tabular database. Ordinarily, the model author needs to optimize this model by configuring the reporting properties. And PowerView is only available with SharePoint Server SP1 Enterprise Edition. I'll leave you here with some resources. So Abundantly Crescent, some great demonstrations that were shown at TechEd North America 2011. Be aware that there have been many enhancements to PowerView since the CTP3 release that was used at TechEd North America in May 2011. There's information available to you in the Reporting Services team blog. There's an overview of PowerView available in TechNet that includes many useful links to related topics. We have a great hands-on lab that then prepares a tabular BI semantic model by optimizing it. That lab should be available wherever you found this presentation. And then we have a second lab that explores the optimized BI semantic model using PowerView. Thank you very much for watching this presentation.